Our next case is 14-223, the Board of Health of Cuyahoga County versus Lipson O'Shea Legal Group. For the appellant, we have Mr. Gutowski.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice. Brian Gutkowski from the Office of Tim McGinney, Cuyahoga County Prosecutor. I also have Tom O'Donnell. He represents the administrative end of things at the Board of Health. I would like to request 3 minutes for rebuttal. Almost 12 years ago, former Governor Bob Taft signed into law revised code 3701.17, which broadly defined public health information as information in a Board of Health's hands that either reveals a person's identity or could be used to reveal that person's identity who might happen to have a past, present, or future health condition. Lipson, the law firm in this case, asked that this broad statutory confidentiality be ignored in order for it to solicit clients for lead paint liability lawsuits.
Counsel, aren't we here, though, because the Court of Appeals said, yes, we agree with that public policy, yes, it's a good idea, but that doesn't include all documents and all information?
Justice O'Neill, we are here because of that, but that fundamentally is incorrect. This court has previously recognized in a case called State Ex Rel Thomas versus Ohio State University that the General Assembly is actually the entity that's supposed to weigh public policy considerations, and absent somebody declaring a statute ambiguous, that courts of this state are supposed to follow the plain language of the statute if in fact the records at issue here fall squarely into the exception enunciated in this case. Just to be clear, there is no dispute that the law firm Lipson does not have the afflicted individual's consent to receive this information. And then there's no dispute as to the fact that the information that the Board of Health maintains as to this issue is not in summary, statistical, or aggregate form. So the record requested issue here plainly asks for protected health information. Turning to the requested issue, in January of 2012, the law firm Lipson asked for documentation or information of all homes in 2008, 2009, 10, and 11 in Cuyahoga County where a minor child was found to have an elevated blood level in excess of 10 milligrams per deciliter.
So, counsel, just we've said that these health records can be reviewed as long as identifying information is redacted, correct?
You have said that in a number of cases, the Daniels case and also the State Ex Rel O'Shea and Associates, which is the right. Predecessor firm. However, you've never squarely identified this statute at issue in this case, Madam Chief Justice. And this statute only applies to boards of health and the Ohio Department of Health and is much broader than your typical lead paint public records request. The General Assembly rightfully noted that boards of health of this state maintain really sensitive documents when it comes to Ohioans who may have a disease or affliction. And based on that fact, they crafted a broader exception to public records requests.
So what information did you agree to disclose?
Well, upon receipt of the public records request that I just described, we had some back and forth with the firm, and unfortunately, we weren't going to be able to come to a resolution. So we had to, you know, ask the court to take a look at these documents in camera. The Board of Health filed a declaratory judgment action in the Court of Common Pleas, and submitted approximately 6,000. Well, I said that there's approximately 6,000 responsive records. Court, we'd ask you to, you know, take a look in camera as to 12 files, and the court took a look at those documents and went through them methodically and said these documents do in fact disclose names. The way the statute is worded, specifically 3701.17.
Well, did you undertake any effort to redact and to disclose any information at all?
As to this particular statute, Justice Pfeiffer?
No, as to this particular request.
Well, unfortunately, there was no requirement to redact documents that the General Assembly has stated are confidential.
So your position is get out of our lives. You know, we don't have to deal with you. We don't have to disclose anything.
No, absolutely not, Justice Pfeiffer. They, you know.
Pfeiffer.
Justice Pfeiffer, we took a look at the records. We tried to work out an agreement. And unfortunately, based on this plain statutory language and how this protected health information is defined, we needed a decision from a court because...
But counsel, the problem is, again, back to my first question. The trial court, based upon this impasse, seems to me to have said if there's any health information on the document, you get nothing. Isn't that what the trial court said? And the Court of Appeals said that's not the way this statute works.
Well, this court, Justice O'Neill, has already said in Plunderbund that if the document...
Answer my question, counsel. My question is the trial court says you get nothing, correct?
The trial court said that the documents at issue fall squarely into protected health information, and based on the plain language of the statute, correct, that there will be no documents provided.
And the Court of Appeals said that's not the way the statute works.
Right. The Court of Appeals did indicate that they were going to...
I guess in answer to Justice Pfeiffer's question, wouldn't it be more logical than you being here for the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office to work with your client, said, okay, we're going to take out the health information, but you can still have the document.
Well, here's the problem with that. The statute specifically says that if information could be used to ascertain an individual's identity, it falls into the exception and can't be disclosed.
And what kind of information would that be?
Well, that would be the residential addresses at issue here. So
if we're talking about a particular street address, that could be used to identify an individual residing there. Is that?
That's accurate. And that's what the General
Assembly... would not then redact the address? Is that something that could be redacted?
Well, you know, if we want to produce 6,000 pages of records that are fully redacted, I don't think that's going to serve anybody's purpose. We would obviously be back.
Is there any information that would not lead to the identification of an individual on those forms?
Well, I mean, absent the documents that says Cuyahoga County Board of Health at the top, obviously Lipson wants that information. They want to be able to find out who are the people in Cuyahoga County that have lead poisoning so they can get clients. And that's the
exactly... But that's not your job, I think, at the Board of Health. I feel like we're dancing around a critical point here. Are you making the distinction between documents and information? And what you're saying, I think, the way you've I think you were about to analogize to the security documents, that if there's any information at all in there that could identify the health of a child, you're not going to give any of the document up. Is that's your position? Is that right?
Well, that's what this court said in Plunderbund. They said.
But is that your position in this case, that these are documents that are protected, so we're not going to redact?
Well, that's what the trial court found, and yes, that's my position, is the fact that if the document and information falls into the exception, in this case, there's no question that the information could be used to ascertain who these lead poisoned children are.
The document as a whole. Well, I'm looking at one of the documents. And there's all kinds of information here on a questionnaire, for example. It asks paint questions. Are there paint chips in the window troughs or on windowsills? Is there chipping, flaking paint on the inside or outside? That has nothing to do with a child's health. So if we separate out for the moment that we think we're talking about information here and not documents, why couldn't this kind of information be revealed?
I think if the court wants to instruct, again, this is an issue of first impression, if the court wants to instruct boards of health that type of information contained in those documents is producible pursuant to public records request, this court certainly is within the bounds of the law to instruct the board of health. But my point, I guess, is that that's not what Lipson wants. Lipson wants to get these people's addresses so they can solicit business.
But that's for them to worry about.
So you're saying that we could say... The identifying information is non-disclosable, is redactable. You're saying that there should be no need to redact because the whole document is not subject. But if we say and agree with the Court of Appeals that identifying information, and we also agree that the address can lead to identification, that means the health department has to go through and redact all of the addresses. And your argument here is that's not what opposing counsel want. They want those addresses so they can solicit them for representation.
Absolutely, Chief Justice.
Okay. In the Metropolitan Housing case, what was redacted in that case?
Again, that's a different case. It wasn't necessarily dealing with this statute, but I believe...
I know it wasn't.
There's no question that 3701.17 was not at issue in the CMHA case brought by Mr. O'Shea's firm. But nonetheless, I believe Mr. O'Shea was entitled and did, in fact, get those residential addresses. But again, that's the whole reason we brought this lawsuit, is to bring to light the fact that this isn't that case. This is a different statute that only applies to boards of health and to the Ohio Department of Health. And
so is there crossover between the Metropolitan Housing records and the records here in the Board of Health?
I think they are, in fact, similar.
They would have to be.
Yeah, they're similar.
I mean, if the Metropolitan Housing is locating lead paint within their structures, within their housing, okay, they have to report that to the health department, right?
That's correct.
So the children that were affected, or the adults, that generated a health issue, the Department of Health has a parallel record for probably the same address.
Correct.
Okay. So I guess I'm at a loss as to what's a bigger pool of data, the health records or the Metropolitan Housing?
Well, again, I think your Honor is correct. It's probably one and the same. It's very similar documents. You know, the CMHA or a school is required by law, when they have identified a lead poisoned child, to forward that information to the Board of Health. And the Board of Health obviously takes efforts to remediate that lead paint condition.
But not all houses that have lead paint are CMHA housing.
That's correct.
So the health department's pool of addresses are going to include the CMHA housing that we've already litigated, plus additional residences or addresses, correct?
Sure, we're talking about private landlords.
Yes.
And that's the type of people that Mr. O'Shea is looking to get to solicit that business. But again, a lot of documents are in the hands of the Board of Health, and a lot of enterprising attorneys serve public records requests on the Board of Health. Say, for instance, dog bite cases. The Board of Health has received requests from attorneys seeking, give me all your records about people that have been bitten by a dog in the last 2 years, for the same purpose.
Counsel, if you follow Justice French's questioning, however, does Mr. O'Shea have a right to submit a request for those records at the Board of Health of houses in Cuyahoga County that have lead paint issues that are known to the department?
No, Justice O'Neill. And the reason he can't...
He does not?
He does not. And the reason he does not have that request, as to the records in my client's hands...
Not request, right. Does he have a right to that information?
No, he does not. He does
Why?
Not have the right to that information, because in the hands of the Board of Health, those records could lead to the identity of an individual. So he can ask for those records, but obviously any identifying information needs to be excluded from those records. And at issue here is the 8th District's decision that landlord information, property address information, the 8th District specifically said that that information should in fact be turned over to Mr. O'Shea, and it was erroneous in so deciding that, because there's no question that upon receipt of the address information, Mr. O'Shea can simply go to the auditor's website and get the landlord's name, or go to the address in question and talk to the neighbors. That could lead to the identity of the lead poisoned
children. How do you read our decision in Daniels?
Well, the 8th District in the proceedings below...
I don't care about them. I'm wondering about how you read our decision in Daniels.
Well, in Daniels, I believe that this court allowed the information to be released. That's correct. But again, I think it's distinguishable, and the 8th District found it was distinguishable based on the fact that 3301.17 was not at issue in Daniels or in Lipson O'Shea's prior case.
And Counsel, if we, now that we're on the statute refers repeatedly to information. It doesn't say documents. It doesn't say records, which I think distinguishes this case from Plunderbund. So to go back to my original point, are we talking about records, or do we have to, under the statute, look only at information?
Well, information is broader than the term records, and we describe that in our reply brief. Mr. O'Shea wants to substitute the term documents for what the broader term is used in the statute, which is information. So we obviously believe that the confidentiality in this particular case enshrined in Title 37 is broader than this court has previously defined in the other records cases.
And then if you look at the statute under 370117A2, we talk about the protected health information under B being information that could be used to reveal the identity. So it seems that the protection under that statute is greater. Is that your argument?
Absolutely, Justice Lanzinger. Information that could be used is protected under Ohio law. And again, getting back to my original point, this court has said in the State X. Rel. Thomas versus Ohio State University case that the General Assembly is the institution that's tasked with considering public policy, and they use the language that they do. And when they use that language, this is a broad confidentiality. If there's no further questions, I would reserve the balance of my time. Thank you.
Mr. Is it Inocchio?
Anatico, Your Honor.
Anatico, I'm sorry.
May it please the court. This case is about a very important function in any democracy, public records. It gives the citizens of this.
It's also a right to privacy.
There certainly is. And part of the balancing act from the Ohio legislature is balancing the important public policy objectives of a public records request.
Would you agree that 370117 is more protective with regard to the information contained in these health documents?
I think 370117 is not more protective. It's almost the same thing as this court has decided in the O'Shea and Associates versus CMHA case.
I think that they're similar. The statute with regard to the 370117 is similar to the CMHA statute that we looked at.
What I'm saying is that it prohibits the release of the same information as the court has already said under the 149.43.
But that doesn't say information that could lead to the identity, does it?
No, it doesn't. But
and that's contained in 370117. So it is, by design, by content, and by policy of the General Assembly, more limiting, more restrictive as to what can be released as a public record. Would you agree with that?
Yes and no. The way the statute works is the court must first determine whether there is health information about a particular person
in a information health record.
And then and only then do we go on to the next inquiry, which is can that information, that health information, be used to identify a particular person?
What health information are you seeking?
Well, we're not seeking any health information because we can't. We can't
right.
under
You're
the statute.
You're seeking the address you can solicit, right?
Not specifically the address, but we're seeking information about properties that have been subject to lead testing by the health department.
Okay, so you need an address to identify a property.
We would.
So you want the address?
Yes.
Okay. And you want the names of the people at that address?
I think the case law provides that the landlord's name or the owner of the property's name, so long as it's not the parent of the child who was lead poisoned, we're entitled to that information. There's no
Counsel, you do understand the argument on the other side that once you have the address, it will not be very difficult to find the people living at that address, and therefore would not be very difficult to lead to the health records or health condition of those people. You do understand that argument?
I do understand that argument, but again, the first inquiry is whether the document or information has health-related information first, then...
Well, if you read the definition of 370117, it defines protected health information to include information that could be used to reveal the identity of an individual who is the subject of the information.
That's correct. That's what it says, Your Honor.
So what's troubling some members of the court, myself included, is the fact that the address could be used to identify such an individual. And you've just told the chief that that's what you want, the address.
The address could be used to
identify. So there's an inconsistency between what the statute says and what you want.
Well, we do want the address, and the address could lead to us finding who that person was.
Well, that says that you can't have it because it says it's protected health information by definition of the General Assembly.
Well, we argue that the particular information has got to contain information about health-related materials.
It says information in subsection C that does not identify an individual is not protected and may be revealed, but you're arguing to us that you want something that would, in the terms of the statute, could be used to reveal the identity of the individual, and that is protected health information. What am I missing here? Maybe I'm missing something.
I think there's just a process in anyone evaluating this, whether a particular set of information is covered under this exception to the public records law.
But we have to determine whether the information you're seeking from the health department falls under the protection of 370117.
That's correct. And that's what this case is really.
If the health department said, yeah, we're going to give you these records, we are going to redact the address, we're going to redact the names, you're going to get the information that on June 1st, 2010, there was lead discovered.
Your Honor,
are you going to make the trip down to the health department and pick those records up?
Granted, they wouldn't be of much help to us without an address.
Because why? What do you want the address so you can find the victim of lead poisoning. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're admitting that you want the address and it will be valuable to lead you to the identification of someone who is the subject of that health record. And that's exactly what 370117 says you can't have.
Your Honor, I would argue, and I'll use as an example one of the documents that is in the sample provided during the trial court. For example, a letter or notice to the property owner, that doesn't say anything about, it doesn't contain any information about a child or health information or anything. It's just an address of the property and an address or in the name of the owner of the property.
And it says what? What's the notice for?
The notices are submitted to parties where they've been inspected for lead and there's violations, and they're giving the owner notice.
So you're getting exactly what you want. You've got the address, you've got verification that lead was present in the home, that it triggered a letter from the health department notifying the owner of the property. You would then make a trip there to find out if the owner of the property is the parent of an individual, a child with lead poisoning, or who were your tenants at the time this letter was generated, correct?
Well,
is that how you would do it? Answer that.
Well, we would get the records, and I suppose we would, try to figure out who the tenant was. But
okay, all right. You just identified an objective, a goal, that is contrary to what the statute says can happen.
I think the problem that we're having in determining what the statute is for is the court's placing all of its emphasis on that subsection B without first analyzing A2 to figure out whether there's health information involved. If there's no health information in a particular document or set of information, then there's no need for the
I'm trying to figure out the common ground we have today. Do you consider a document from the Board of Health that 123 Elm Street is a house that has a health or a lead problem? Is that a health record?
I don't think it falls under the definition of protected health information, no.
And are you making
counsel?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but counsel, if the whole point of this statute is to protect the privacy of the individual, we wouldn't have this problem if there was a consent. You'd agree with that?
I believe
if you had a consent form and you were going to the Board of Health and asking for information regarding a specific address that somebody and a name, that information, that would be different. But it's the wholesale, fishing expedition that the statute seems to prevent.
Well, I agree with you that there in subsection B of that section, there's four exceptions if there is protected health information in a document, and a consent form would be one of those exceptions to allow the health department to release that information.
And Councilor, are you making a distinction between parents and children? And so if a parent, for example, if that name were to be released, in your view, that wouldn't reveal health information because the health information is about the child and not the parent?
That's correct. But assuming that, as we argue, that this statute is not applicable here, the court would then shift its analysis to what it ordinarily does in a public records case. And to that, you know, I think the court should take a look at Cincinnati Inquirer versus Daniels case and the O'Shea and Associates versus Cuyahoga Metropolitan Housing Authority. And in there, the court specifically said that the names of people, the parents, have to be redacted. So the court's already made that determination.
Okay, thank you.
Counsel, you one approach that you could take that would be rejected, I'm sure, by the Department of Health is to prepare a draft requesting them to notify people that this information has been requested and asking whether or not they want to waive their right.
I suppose that's one way they could do it if they wanted to release the records under the subsection B with the four exceptions allowing for consent.
Now, the other thing that your firm can do, and I assume you've done it, is advertise for people to come in who've had their children identified as having an elevated level of lead.
We do that, Your Honor, but I have to point out that this court has held on a number of occasions that the particular motive of a records requesting party is not relevant to the analysis under under 140.
No, I'm not getting at your motive. I'm getting at the quandary here is that in its most generous way to describe it, your firm would like to help families who have children with these health problems receive some compensation.
Absolutely, Your Honor. We feel we're one of the only ones out there who do that.
You want to offer a service to someone who arguably could benefit from it.
I think they benefit greatly based on our experience.
And the health department, because of the understandable statute protecting the information that they hold from wholesale broadcast around the country, is hanging tight and giving the broadest interpretation they can give.
Well,
to the statute in terms of what they don't release.
Well, I think the case law surrounding these public records requests, they're interpreted to be more expansive as opposed to narrow, so that the law satisfies the general public policy for the necessity of public records requests to ensure.
Well,
that's
true of the public records, but in terms of when it comes to people's privacy rights and their health information, that's also viewed as an important privacy right that people have, and those who have that information are held to a high standard of making sure it doesn't creep out the door.
That's true, Your Honor, but some of the documents that are in the sample, they don't give us any health information about a child. It's just a name and an address. And even if there was information about a child, the Department of Health has a duty to redact that information and then produce the record. Up to this point, they haven't produced any records at all during this case. Your Honors, if I could just close quickly. The appellant made a reference to the right of privacy and the constitutional arguments concerning the 14th Amendment. I just wanted to point out to the court that That argument was not raised at the trial court or the appellate court level and should therefore not be considered here for the very first time. And we believe that the 8th District made the correct determination that certain documents do not contain protected health information as defined in 3701.17a2, not even going on to the two subsections, because we argued that that analysis would be irrelevant. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice. Yes, my opponent, my colleague on the other side is correct. We didn't make the constitutional argument because we're confronted with a clear and unambiguous statute. We don't need to get to constitutional arguments when there's a clear legal reason for us to deny a public records request. The reason, Justice Pfeiffer, we didn't simply produce these records is because, frankly, my client didn't want to get sued. My client didn't want to have a lawsuit filed by somebody that says you weren't authorized by statute to release this information, and I get this letter from this law firm.
That's a lame excuse. I mean, I hear that almost on a daily basis from school superintendents and everybody under the sun. Oh, we're trying to avoid those nasty lawyers. Your job is to look at the statute and reasonably apply it.
Right.
To the records that you have.
And in this case,
not worry about some boogeyman lawyer hiding behind some bush.
It's also important to recognize that if Lipson gets these records, the world gets these records. And there's some pretty confidential records that are maintained by my client about all kinds of diseases.
All he wants is the address. He wants to go down and you know, follow the lead that the address is and do the footwork or however you do it in this electronic age and figure out how we can get to the parent of a child who ate paint chips and then sue somebody. That's what this whole thing is about.
That's absolutely correct, Chief Justice, but unfortunately our legislature said they can't have them. We'd ask the reverse. Thank you, Judge.
All right, we'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you call a recess?